Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Got to the Fan Hotline is brought to you by Armstrong Business Solutions. Ed Bouchette is going to join us. It's been a long time since Ed and I have talked. Mueller won't butt in today, Ed, because he's off.
Damn shame, Andrew. Damn shame.
Ed, do you get what I'm saying? I mean, your Red Sox just traded for a guy who's been great for a month and a half, and they gave up a bag of balls and a Carl Yastrzemski autographed baseball card. Nice trade.
Yeah, you know, I'm torn when it comes to that between trades and non-trades and giving and getting. And, you know, sometimes they work out, sometimes they don't. Last year was, you know, the perfect example.
Eovaldi was great for the Red Sox last year. I don't think they win a World Series without him.
Well, I'm old enough, Andrew, to remember when the Pirates traded for Bill Madlock.
Yep.
And that just put them over the top in 79. I covered that series and that team. And so it worked out for them. You know, they made a few other trades, Phil Garner being one of them. I think that was the year before. I can't remember now. But, last year's trade was horrible.
There's got to be some middle ground there, though. Just because you made one trade for a guy with 3.5 years left on his contract and had to pay a premium for it doesn't mean you do what your boy Mike Tomlin says and live in your fears and never make another trade.
No, you can't be gun-shy because one doesn't work out. Right. I mean, if you do that, you'd never make another trade. It's like drafting. Just because you draft Bud Dupree doesn't mean you don't draft another outside linebacker.
T.J. Watt.
With T.J. Watt.
There you go. So, I read your article about Tomlin, and I'm now wondering if you feel like all of the smart money is on him to get a contract extension in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, I do. I started thinking more and more about it, which is why I wrote that. I'm not sitting here saying they should. I just think they will, and for the reasons I gave. If you look at it objectively, and if you try and remove yourself from the Super Bowl, because really there's only been one team that has outdone them in the Super Bowl with Super Bowl wins, and that's the New England Patriots, although the Giants did win two against the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
But nevertheless, I mean, Tomlin's record stacks up, and, you know, they like him. They're not like some of these fans that are saying, what have you done for us lately? They like how he operates.
So they don't look at what's happened specifically, let's say, last year and think that season, even though the record wasn't awful, but just everything from last year didn't give the franchise and the coach a black eye?
Black eye's probably too strong. I mean, where was the black eye? Antonio Brown was basically it, wasn't it? I mean,
well, I don't know. I mean, before that, they lost games. I mean, Antonio Brown didn't factor into the Raiders' loss or the Browns' tie.
Every team has those games, Andrew. I mean, this side of the New England Patriots. People are still up in arms, and maybe rightfully so, that they lost to the Jacksonville Jaguars at home by 3 points, 45-42 in that playoff game. Jacksonville went to New England and almost pulled off the same thing, probably should have, against the great Patriots. That stuff happens. I think fans here look too closely and don't see the overall field of the NFL when they're looking at the Steelers.
Well, isn't the flip side of that Mike McCarthy? I mean, everything you've just said about Mike Tomlin, you could have said about McCarthy in Green Bay. Don't be so emotional. Don't be so prisoner of the moment. And look at the big picture, and his playoff record and overall win percentage were great. And they still didn't the dynamic between the coach and the quarterback obviously had something to do with that.
That's a pretty big dynamic.
Oh, it is.
That's a big dynamic. And I was just going to mention that. You know, I mean, that doesn't – to a small extent, there was that between Bill Cowher and Ben Roethlisberger, you know. But that's not why Bill left. I don't know that you can have the great quarterback, let's say, and the coach at war.
I'm happy that we got it on that topic with Cowher, because with everything you've written and said about this, what I'm struggling to understand is if they believed in doubling down on coaches after losing seasons like they did with Cowher after 99 and 2000 and said, nope, this is our coach. We'll get through the adversity. We're resilient. We believe in this guy. Why didn't they believe in Cowher after winning a Super Bowl? Like, if there was ever a time to give a coach what he wanted, isn't it after you win the big one, Ed?
Andrew, there were other forces at work there. Bill and his wife went looking for property in North Carolina. They were going to buy some property. It was going to be their retirement home, you know, his after coach home. Instead, they found a house that Kay loved, and they bought it, and Kay moved the family there, basically. And Bill was left with trying to coach the team with his family down there and him flying back and forth. It wasn't working out. He had to choose, basically. The Steelers weren't going to let him continue to coach like that. He had to choose between basically family and football.
So he still wanted to be, Cowher still wanted to be the Steelers coach at that point, or did he?
He did, but he had little choice, really. Kay Cowher was a headstrong woman and did pretty much what she wanted to do. And she decided she's getting out of Pittsburgh and going home to North Carolina. And, Bill was here saying, well, I've got to choose my family or I got to choose football. And he was torn. He wanted to, keep coaching. It just wasn't going to work like that.
Okay.
They didn't want him down there in, February, March, April, when they're preparing for things, when they should be looking at free agency and him flying back and forth. That's not how they wanted it.
So it wasn't about money then. It was about him trying to be at two places at one time.
Yes. And him ultimately also realizing, I think, that he couldn't do it.
We're talking to Ed Bouchette, our Steelers insider here on The Fan. Ed, when you're trying to make up your mind on whether or not to give a coach more money in more years, do you look at their entire body of work? If you were in charge, would you look at the last 5 years, the last 3 years? I mean, if you look at just Chuck Knoll's whole entire body of work, they would have never, either tried to persuade him to retire or get out of coaching because he won 4 Super Bowls. So, where do you start the clock on what a coach is graded on or evaluated on, in your opinion?
Well, you brought up a good – I think it's a combination, really. You brought up a good example. Chuck Knoll built up so much capital with those 4 Super Bowls and those great teams. I started covering that team in 85, and they did not make the playoffs. 7 of Chuck Knoll's – 6 of Chuck Knoll's last 7 years, they didn't make the playoffs. They went 5-11 in 1988. They were not a very good team. Any other coach, I think, even with the Steelers, would have been long gone. But those four Super Bowls carried Chuck. They really did. And, you know, they were going to keep him, actually. They made him change coaches after that 5-11 season in 88. He almost quit then, but then reluctantly agreed to make those changes, Tony Dungy being one of them. And then in 91, they wanted him to make more changes. Joe Walton was his coordinator. They wanted him out. Chuck finally went, you know what? It's time. I'm done.
Ed, what do you think in your time covering Mike Tomlin, what do you think in the last 10-plus years he's gotten better at as a head coach?
I think he's it's going to sound surprising. I don't know that he's as stubborn as he used to be. I think he really has done some things, especially with the coaching staff, that they kind of wanted him to do, Bruce Arians being one of them. And I really do believe, and, you know, people are probably going to, some people are going to laugh at this. I think he really has command of his team. The players like him. They respect him. You know, there's the Antonio Brown situation just skewered a lot of that. But I don't know that he's so much better as a game day coach, if you will. But I don't know that he's a bad game day coach. I think that's a, you know, his clock management, people just up in arms every time somebody brings up Tomlin as a good coach. People scream about clock management. I've been covering this every game that guy has coached, and I'm sorry, he's not that bad.
What is something that he needs to get better at for this season, Ed? Like, what's something, if they're going to make a jump here and make it back to being a contender, is there something you identify as an area where Mike Tomlin and his coaching staff need to get better for 2019?
Well, I think one of the, you know, the small changes, the challenges, that's not a big change, I don't think. I don't know if that's going to turn around a record. I don't know that he needs to change a whole lot, really, Andrew. And I think what you're going to see also is a little bit different philosophy with Antonio Brown gone, with Le'Veon Bell gone, even though he did it with James Conner. I don't think he's going to run the one guy all the time now. You're going to see them spread the ball around a whole lot more. They did a decent job of that anyway, other than the running back throwing the ball. But I think you're going to see more role players, if you will, rather than feeding the superstars.
Do you think they're going to really miss Munchak?
No, not this year, I don't think. You know, I don't know what Sean, how the new line coach, he's been here a while. I don't know what, you know, his strengths and weaknesses may be. But they have such a veteran line there, Andrew. His imprint is already on those guys, especially a guy like Villanueva, who he really turned into from nothing into a Pro Bowl left tackle, which is still an incredible story. And those guys are all veterans, except for Feeler. And, you know, he showed what he could do last year, replacing Marcus Gilbert for 11 starts.
When the Steelers go to New England in week one, who's going to call the shots on defense, Tomlin or Keith Butler?
That's a good question. I don't know that. I mean, we'll have to see that evolve. They've been kind of splitting the duties, and, you know, Tomlin calls what he wants to call, and, you know, I think that they'd be better off with one voice, and I think it should be Butler. I think Mike should just, go ahead and help with the game plan. Go ahead if you want, coach, you know, during the week, but I think you have to have one guy calling them, and I think it's led to confusion and late plays going in and all that stuff.
Do you think it's a clue that it might be more Tomlin this year, with Butler taking over outside linebacker responsibilities?
That could be. You know, I don't know kind of why they're doing that, but you know, Butler obviously was a linebackers coach before he became the defensive coordinator. Maybe he just didn't feel comfortable hiring another outside linebackers coach or couldn't find a good one to come here. I have no idea. But, you know, hey, I think there are too many coaches anyway. I mean, I come from when I started covering, Chuck Knoll was the head coach, the quarterback's coach, the offensive coordinator, and the special teams coach. And I realize the game has evolved, but I don't know that Keith Butler can't be the defensive coordinator and coach the outside linebackers.
All right, Ed.
Basically, that's what the offensive coordinator, Randy, is doing, too.
Quarterbacks. I mean,
quarterbacks coach, and even though he has an assistant there.
Cool. All right, Ed, good to talk to you again.
All right, Andrew, good to be with you again.
Thank you.
Next time I talk to you, they'll be getting ready to pack up and go to St. Vincent.
And then we'll hang out with each other there, except I won't stay overnight or any of that baloney.
I'm not staying overnight either anymore.
Oh, good. Congratulations on that.
I'll be going back and forth. I didn't stay much lately anyway, 3 or 4 nights.
Cool. All right, Ed.
All right, Andrew. Thanks.
Yep. Ed Bouchette, our Steelers insider.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.